The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Stream every pitch of the 2024 Atlanta Braves for free.
Tap that 680 The Fan app and get The Fan's live stream, all your favorite podcasts, and every moment of Atlanta Braves baseball.
Okay. This is Atlanta's 15-year home of the Braves.
WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey Broadcasting Station.
The Fan.
And The Fan app.
Na, 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 na. Chuck and Chernoff, yeah. Na, 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 na. Chuck and Chernoff. It's 3 o'clock on the dot. And you know what that means. It's time for Matt Lanna and the King. Woo! Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 na. Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan.
Find the second part, though.
Traffic jam. But we got Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Woo! Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. Na, 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Yeah.
We crank it up in our 3 o'clock hour. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. Our 3 o'clock hour is all presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most out of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast, at thisstuffmatters.net. Chuck on vacation. Our radio pal, Carlos Medina, kind enough to sit in with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Well, we'll walk you right up to the Braves and the Red Sox at Truist Park. Let's all say hello to Los.
Hey, Chuck.
Yeah, it's Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Los.
Ever been with a real man?
I am today.
Let's go consummate.
Right now in the 3 o'clock hour, shouldn't we tease and wait?
Happy ending?
That's in the 5 o'clock hour.
Hey, Los. Get it all out while you can, Cullen. You got, what, 3 more days, and then you're right back with the handcuffs on. Just so enjoy it. Enjoy it all while you can.
Dad's coming home.
That's right.
The Braves will be back for the first of two tonight. One injury note for the Braves. Tyler Matzek was placed on the 15-day IL with elbow inflammation, backdated to May 5th. So the great Ray Kerr, left-hander, was brought up from AAA to replace him in the Braves' pen. I'm not telling you guys something you don't know. Tyler has struggled in his return coming back from Tommy John, so the Braves will have another new member of the pen. That means Pierce Johnson on the IL, Tyler on the IL, and the Braves trying to turn around their fortunes after a 1-5 road trip, the sweep in L.A. Here's the best news. The next two nights, the Braves' best two starters, who have been Ronaldo Lopez and Chris Sale, will go back-to-back. And, Los, as we enter into play tonight, Raylo is 2-1 with a 1.5 ERA. He's got 31 Ks, only 10 walks and 5 starts. He has been awesome.
Yeah, and I will say that as much as we were hopeful that Chris Sale would start looking like older Chris Sale, he's delivered on that. Ronaldo Lopez has just been phenomenal in terms of how he's been able to command the plate, the adjustments he's made from coming to the pen, kind of regulating as far as when he uses the fastball. His location has been outstanding. This is, when you talk about having a stopper, Sale was a stopper a couple of days ago, you know, when they were in Seattle. Lopez has become very much that thing. It's nice to get him back-to-back after a couple of rough days on the West Coast.
I am hopeful that the offense had some slump busters going on yesterday. I don't want to get into too much detail, but it would have been a good day for a slump buster, and the offense can break out tonight. Here's the good news. Here's the best news. They continue to hit the ball hard. The exit velo is there. What has not been good, the Braves are striking out a lot more than they were a year ago, and they're not walking as much, which means when they do get their 5 or 6 hits, they're largely coming with nobody on base. An example is in that Dodgers series, Los, where the Braves struck out 27 times and had only 5 walks. There's a lot of early swings and counts to combat the strikeouts, which isn't great for putting stress on the opposing pitcher. So those things have been noticeable.
Yeah, the exit velo has been fine. You know, the amount of doubles they've been able to put up has been fine. Obviously, they're trailing a little bit in homers. The issue that I have had is that the one thing that we saw that was really evident last year was how tough it was to strike out this lineup and the amount of times they would put the ball in play and create those scrappy moments, those moments where yeah, you got a leadoff walk, and then suddenly there's a ball that finds its way down the line, and it's a double, and suddenly it's mayhem, and it's a crooked number up on the – that's the one thing during this run that we have not seen is when they just get really creative in how they score runs and how much pressure they put on the defense.
Here's the good numbers, though. This should make you feel good that this will end, and they will get this turned around. They're still third in all of baseball in slugging, fourth in batting average, seventh in on-base percentage. Those numbers, combined with the hard hit rate, it'll work out. Like Matt Olson's an example. He's still hitting the ball very hard, just not getting the results. That will turn when that, again, that number stays the same when you're talking about the exit velo. If that stays the same, there's really nothing to worry about. So maybe it's slump buster night tonight at Truist. Keep in mind, I did peek at the Game Time app. If you're looking for last-minute tickets, I saw all-in prices to get in at just $19. That's with fees and everything. $19 will get you in. I saw great seats in the grandstand infield. That's behind home plate for just $23. All in. Download the Game Time app. Use our code THEFAN, THEFAN, for $20 off your first purchase at Game Time. I want you to look at the calendar, Los. You know what's coming.
May 8th, tomorrow.
Well, that yes, you're accurate.
And then the ninth, the day after that.
You're doing great. Falcons rookie minicamp begins on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, in Flowery Branch. So we'll get our first look at the new lot of rookies, including Rook Arororo. And our first look at Michael Penix Jr. doing whatever stuff he's going to do on the field. Now, speaking of Penix, we know he will be a discussion point all offseason. It'll be minicamp. It'll be OTAs. It'll be training camp preseason Penix. Cousins, Penix will be just a huge talk. Maybe for the first time, because the Falcons do have voluntary OTAs after rookie minicamp. My understanding is Kirk Cousins is going to be at all that stuff as he gets on the same page and continues his rehab. So we might get the first chance to hear Kirk next week have to answer questions about Penix. And the reason I bring it up, this note came out yesterday from Albert Breer, who said one of the big reasons Kirk Cousins decided to leave Minnesota this offseason was the Vikings told him they were drafting a young quarterback that they were going to take high in the draft to be the future of their franchise. Conversely, the Falcons told Kirk Cousins when they were already on the clock and had made their decision to draft Penix, oh, by the way, Kirk, remember how we were invested in you? Yeah, we're picking your replacement.
This goes back to, I think, about the time. It's back in, like, 2016, and it was an awkward press conference that Tony Romo had in Dallas, and he talked about how football is the ultimate meritocracy and how if you've been hurt, the league looks to move on from you. If somebody's playing better, then the league goes with that person. Kirk Cousins has to understand at some point, despite the money, he's 35 and teams are going to start making plans. I think that Minnesota would love to have had him back and drafted a young quarterback and just said, all right, our guy's going to sit for a year or two and then he's going to play. Atlanta, this is your luxury, and it's expensive, but this is your luxury that you have that Minnesota doesn't get.
So I would say to some degree I'm on the same page, but I think the Falcons have sort of not handled it as well as they could. Now, their response is, we couldn't tell Kirk days before because if the news got out, okay, well, whatever. I think calling Kirk and his agent going, listen, guys, we don't want you to be caught off guard. There is a chance if a player is there at the position, we might take him. Please keep it under your hat. I don't think Kirk was going to leak it to the national media.
Now, well, he leaked the visit with the training staff.
That was in front of the media, though, by just merely being honest enough to say, I talked to the staff yesterday. Again, this is the most harmless tampering ever that the Falcons are going to get the book thrown at them. But back to your point in Minnesota, Los. See, I'm convinced Minnesota was ready to move on from Kirk. Would they have taken him back at their price for a year? Sure. But outside of that, which they knew wasn't going to happen, I think Minnesota was very ready to move on from Kirk. They announced that the year before when they stopped giving him the guaranteed deals that he wanted long term, and they were going to play it year by year. Add to that that I don't know if the rest of the league wanted Kirk. I mean, somebody would have taken him at the right price. There was nobody else in the Falcons' stratosphere of paying 35-year-old quarterback $100 million guaranteed for the 2 years. Now, that doesn't mean it won't work. It's just something to consider that the rest of the league views things very differently than the Falcons do.
I guess for me, I feel like you got your own version of Derek Carr. That it's competent quarterback play. It's more accomplished than Derek Carr. Yeah. The numbers have been better. But the going rate for these guys is what it is. And so, if you're telling me that you would have loved to have planned this out in a better way, yes, I completely agree with you. But at a certain point, you are just going to have to pull the trigger and say, listen, I gave you $100 million. Be a veteran. Be a pro. This is how it's going to be. And then we're going to move on in the future. We don't know when that date is, but that's how it's going to be. That's the adult conversation, the dad conversation that you have to have.
And Kirk will handle it well. He'll be a soldier and handle all the stuff. The Falcons would have been better off if they fell in love with Penix, or if they had an inkling, do the Russell Wilson thing for a year, do the Justin thing for a year. If you're admitting, now the Falcons are like, we're okay with being okay. We're not going to add a ton to the roster. They're not signing anybody. Like, I thought after the draft, now they would crank back up some free agency, and maybe they'll add some pieces. But as we sit here today, and if you put a gun to my head, which don't, that's not right. But if you did and said, Matt, predict a Falcon record, I think they're 7 or 8 wins. I don't think Kirk is good enough to raise people up around him more than a game or two. I think this defense is laughably bad on paper, and I think the Falcons have convinced themselves that Raheem Morris can do what he did a year ago in L.A. with this team. And, Lois, I look at it, and I think it's a rational confidence. Outside of Grady, which we all love, but he's off ACL, we like David Onyemata. I don't like any of their other defensive linemen. They're a bunch of maybes and hopefuls. Outside of Caden Ellis, I don't love any of their other linebackers. Nate Landman was fine, but nothing more. Outside of A.J. Terrell, I don't know that I love any of their other corners. And outside of Jesse Bates, I don't love any of their safeties. They have major holes at every level on this defense. And the Falcons' response was, we signed Kirk. We're okay with being a little better. We put our future 2 years down the line. So I'm not going to have higher expectations than that.
And now my question becomes this. If you were telling me that it was last year's schedule based off of what you were playing, I'd say I think you're going to get 10 wins. But it's not last year's schedule.
Nope.
And this is there was a different mentality that happened last year. Many times the opposing offenses were not threatened to go chase 30 points. They knew if we can get it to about 21, 24, we're going to have an opportunity. So they weren't challenging the Falcons' defense in the same way. I believe they're going to get challenged significantly more this time around by offenses where their entire identity is go, 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 score 28, score 30 points, and see if they can handle it.
But I feel like I have to say this to the audience every time I kind of get into this Falcon rant, that's this is not what I want. I wanted to believe this team was going to take a little run at it. We're going to take your 2-year little run. Are we good enough to be a Super Bowl team? Probably not, but it's the NFL. And the two times the Falcons have made the Super Bowl, ain't nobody thought they were good enough heading into those years. 1998, they were off 7 wins, and they had Chris Chandler at quarterback, and things just happened. In 2016, they were off, I think it was, 8-8 in 2015, and it just happened. But you're not giving yourself a chance to just make it happen because you're walking these parallels of we want to be okay now, but give ourselves not to be awful in 2 years. I hate it. I hate the strategy.
I liken this to 2016. Even when they went to the playoffs, Matt, you remember it. No one in the national media was still talking about this team. And yet, they were this giant of what they had done over the past month, and they were the hot team. I think at this point, you're always hoping, can I generate a scenario where I can become the hot team? And that, I think, is your hope for Kirk Cousins, that maybe you can get on a run and you're the hot team. Because just on paper, there is far too many issues with this team as a whole for you to go into the season and say, Super Bowl contender, let's take a shot at it this year.
Let's get our worst idea.
Get ready for Chuckin' Chernoff's Worst Idea.
All right, we'll take your worst idea answers at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. I played you guys some Ted Turner audio before. It was just great to go back in that time capsule and hear a time when that was the owner of the Hawks and the owner of the Falcons, or the owner of the Braves, excuse me. Now, they weren't overly successful in either franchise, but it was fun. So we're going to have fun with a coach or an exec that should be considered for the Atlanta Sports Hall of Shame.
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 Shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Who would the exec or coach be? And I'll start us off. I will go with the man who walked his dog during the NBA draft lottery. And he told us he was taking the landlord. Billy Knight, you are nominated for the Hall of Shame.
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 Man, I even did a Billy Knight song back in the day.
Yeah, you
shame.
Did.
That
shame.
Was going to be my guy because he was so stuck up with what he told us. I guess the only thing I could say is, tell me about the guy who drafted a defensive lineman who couldn't play and then hired Bobby Petrino.
Shame.
I'll still put it on McKay.
Oh, that's a great call. Rich
he
is
hired
on the
Petrino.
List.
Yeah. Yep.
Can I throw an extra bonus one?
Shame.
If I stay with the Hawks. Lon Kruger was a coach here. Like, never forget, Lon was a coach here. What a disaster that was, too. Brian Gephardt, do you have a nomination for the Atlanta executive and coach Sports Hall of Shame?
Yeah, let's go with Lloyd Pierce. He was the first one after Coach Bud, and we've been searching for it since.
Yeah, good old Lloyd.
Yeah, but he had 1 year. He had a finals run.
Well, no, that was Nate McMillan.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was
Lloyd
right
got
after.
Canned mid-season.
It was after Darren Canned in season. Yeah. You're right. Take it back.
DT, what you got?
I'll go with Freddie Gonzalez because he made my nephew cry at the very first Braves game he ever went to. Captain
Did
Hook.
Hit him?
No,
shame.
Captain Hook took the pitcher out with like four and a thirds or whatever.
Boy, we are off and rolling here. Freddie, Lloyd, Rich McKay, and Billy Knight. Cullen Madden?
Little Nicky Wrestler. He is an exec.
He is an exec. That's true. Little.
Still waiting on my LinkedIn invite.
You did reach out to him, didn't you?
May I do a second place one for me?
Yeah.
Brian Schottenheimer ended the Mark Richt era.
Shoddy was here for a
Shoddy
year.
Shoddy was the reason why that nothing worked, and they quickly figured out, oh, my God, this nepotism, this is how this guy ended up here, and that was the big reason why the entirety of the administration goes, you hired Brian Schottenheimer? Okay, we're done.
All right, so then we'll expand it out to the Atlanta/Georgia Sports Hall of Shame. You guys will send your answers to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Steve Weisch, friend of the show. Now the man with the plan at the NFL Network covering all things National Football League will join us in 15 minutes. He had some wonderful intel on the Falcons' interest in Michael Penix, their want to trade back to the top of the draft to get another piece, in that case a defensive player. So we'll find out what he's heard in the aftermath of the decision to draft Michael. He'll join us in 15 minutes. Coming up next, though, it's reality check time for some spoiled Braves fans.
Check, check. Do I have a level? I'm good on levels. Thank you.
It's almost like Chuck didn't leave.
Check, 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 check.
He's never talked this much while he's here.
Check, check.
Get to the bottom of it next. We're doing the fan thing, Chuck and Chernoff, with you until the Braves and the Red Sox have your mobile app.
Come on,
so you can keep up with all things going tonight. We're going to do that all day. You can tell Cullen's back.
Come on, Sox!
And there it is. We're going to be with you until the Ford leadoff show, 680 game day, and then all the fun tonight. Ray Lowe gets the ball for the Braves. 720 first pitch on the fan. Chuck and Chernoff with you until then. Lowe's is in for the King. The 3 o'clock hour of the show presented by This Stuff Matters, helping you make the most of what matters most. Like and subscribe to This Stuff Matters, the podcast at thisstuffmatters.net. As DT told you in the update, Steve Weisch from the NFL Network will give us some of the background to the whole decision from the Falcons to draft Michael Penix. How Penix and Kirk Cousins are going to coexist. Is it really going to go 2 years? We'll get to all that with Weishi coming up. But first, Los, it's reality check time for some Braves fans. And not many of you. Most of you guys listening, level-headed. You've been through this before. But some of our listeners are also the ones that go freak-out mode anytime the Braves have a bad week. It's just, it's always been that way. Whether they lose 2 or 3 in Oakland a year ago or they get swept by the Phillies to start a season a few years ago, it's just, oh my God, the sky is falling. But you have to take a step back and realize, let's say you just woke up from a month-long coma. Welcome back. The Braves are 20-12 after 32 games, and we all agree they just haven't played close to the way they're capable of, yet they're 20-12, which puts them 2 games off their pace a year ago, which was 22-10. And speaking of pace, they're on a 100-win pace. I don't know that they'll keep that up or not, but they're 20-12 with the Spencer injury, without Sean Murphy, without anything from Olsen, with very little from Riley, with almost nothing from Acuna, now without Pierce Johnson, now without Tyler Matzek, and they're 20-12. Like, I'm sorry, that perspective should remind you how deep and talented this group is, and that when those other things do turn back around, and they will, if you're worried about this team, I just figure out something. Worry about your taxes. Worry about, inflation. Worry about the ozone layer. Don't worry about this team. They're too good.
No, I guess you're telling them to listen to me from 6 to 10, apparently.
Oh, yeah, Los is on Extra 106.3 in the mornings.
I'll cover all three of those topics with you. No, but I would say this, and I'm glad you bring it up in this way, Matt, because we are still talking about 5 months of baseball. Okay, 5 months of baseball. And so if you just tell me about recent history, the Texas Rangers were not the best team in baseball. In fact, they dropped to lose their division at the end of last year. Arizona was an afterthought in the playoffs going into last year, and yet those two teams found themselves playing for a World Series. I am not crazy about killing myself to win a division title. And as much as we're looking at Philadelphia and saying, look at the run they've gone on, man, I hope they've hit their stride and they're peaking in early May. I want to be the one that's there in October.
But I would also add, and this is not a criticism of Philly, they're taking advantage of a weak portion of their schedule, sure, which they should. I don't criticize teams for that. Like, we get mad when you lose to bad teams. They're beating them up, and that's what they should do. But the Braves' schedule, it's not like the Braves have had Cupcake City. They've already played the Phillies, took 2-3, took 2-3 from the Rangers, took 2-3 from the Guardians. Just already did a West Coast thing where it was 1-5, and you got that out of the way. You took 2-3 from the Diamondbacks. You already played the Mariners. And you've also dealt with, if you want to throw in some fun, the early season crummy weather stuff with the cold weather, Philly, Chicago, all that. But now you get a good stretch. 16 of the next 25 games for the Braves are at home. The weather in Atlanta gets cranked up, which means, and I bring the weather up for one reason, the ball starts to carry more. I don't care if it's cold or not, but when it's warmer, the ball carries more, and that's where the Braves' exit velo, barrel rate, all those things will equal balls going over the fence, and they will get Sean Murphy back sooner rather than later. And they will get what looks like Matt Olson in his career back sooner rather than later. He's actually been hitting the ball fine, not getting results. Same with Riley and Acuna. And the other part that keeps me from ever panicking, as long as there are no more injuries, and we can't control that, when you've got a rotation, even without Spencer, that is max, Lopez has shown you this, Sale has shown you enough, and Morton as your four, it's all good, I promise. Now, I'm not doing Aaron Rodgers, relax. I'm doing calm down. Like, honestly, if you're going to get – they're going to have another one of these in July where they, for a week, look like they've never played baseball before. To Los's point, let's hope it doesn't happen in October because it looked like that last year.
I look at it as a math game, and when we just talk about statistics, you have people that always – it's called a return to the mean. Like, what is their average? What have they done? There are so many batters in this lineup that are hitting below their regular numbers that I believe as it warms up, as things get going, we're going to see this entire group, in my opinion, with maybe exception of Marcel, because Marcel's just been – he's been outstanding to start the year and obviously the end of last year. You're going to see these guys hit their normal numbers, and that's when things are going to explode, and you're going to forget the little West Coast trip where you went 1-5.
And even if some of them don't hit their numbers that we always attach to them each and every year and they have disappointing years, they'll still be a playoff team. I'd rather them win the division. I'm still one – like, I know that we have the small sample of a week off's dangerous, and it might be. I think that will self-correct as we continue to go, and if they keep the format as is, I think that will self-correct, so I'd still – rather than win the division, I think they're going to win the division. I think they're the best team by a good margin. They're going through a spell. Everybody does it, and this is their spell. All right, let's switch gears. The Falcons have rookie minicamp coming this weekend, OTAs after that. And before you know it, we're going to be deep into the summer, and the Michael Penix, Kirk Cousins fun will just be getting underway. With that in mind, let me bring in friend of the show, Steve Wyche. He is the senior NFL reporter at the NFL Network, and he's kind enough to join Chuck and Chernoff in the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Wyche, we appreciate the time. How are you?
Doing well, Matt. How's everything going?
Everything is good, as you can imagine. No shortage of Falcon topics around these parts after the after the goings-on over the last couple of months. So let me start broad, Steve, and then I want to kind of drill down. It's been an interesting offseason, and arguably maybe the most interesting we've had around here in forever, if you consider maybe the three biggest stories of the NFL offseason, the Falcons' pursuit of Belichick and then the pivot to go to Raheem Morris, the signing of Kirk Cousins, and then the decision on Michael Penix. If nothing else, they are leading to, you know, a lot of agreement, disagreement. They're a lightning rod franchise this offseason.
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, they have, you know, it's not – the only real controversy is the real draft pick, but – you know, look, you can have opinions on what you want on everything they've done, but, well, for the first two, the pursuit of Belichick and the signing of Kirk Cousins, you get it. Like the third one, drafting Michael Penix, still has a lot of people, you know, scratching their heads. But, you know, why wouldn't you kick the tires and Bill Belichick? You know, you need a quarterback. You go out and you sign somebody like a Kirk Cousins who's got the experience. So, you know, it's going to put them, you know, the signing of Cousins should put them in place to make a playoff run. So you get that. And then you come through the draft and you throw the biggest, you know, biggest curveball in the first round that that people have experienced in a minute.
So let's back up for a second on the Cousins part of it, Steve, because the Kirk Cousins move made perfect sense, and you knew it was going to be pricey. What I'm confused about, and I'll say disappointed, is I thought that was going to be the jumping-on point for the Falcons getting super aggressive, doing some things on defense, adding a corner, doing something on the edge, and maybe they tried and just couldn't do it. But, Weishi, I'll be very clear. This defense on paper, it's got a ton of holes in it, and even with Kirk here, I don't know how much better they can be with this defense.
Well, I mean, first off, you weren't singing solo to the audience of being surprised by the decision to not go with something on defense, you know, in the first round after the signing of Kirk Cousins. I don't think there's as many holes in a defense as you presume. And part of this is me being around Raheem Morris and some guys on that staff. I live in Los Angeles there with the Rams and their ability to develop and scheme. You know, remember, they lost a ton of guys last year, you know, after Jalen Ramsey was traded and, you know, Leonard Floyd went away. You know, some key players at key positions at edge, you know, at cornerback. And, you know, they were still pretty decent. Some of the metrics don't look great, but they just got better and better as the season went along. But they also had an offense that could score points, so that helped. And so I think that's what they're counting on right now. Is if all of a sudden you have an offense that instead of going into a toe-to-toe slugfest like they were doing the past three seasons every week, hoping their offense could get them 17 points, if you've got an offense that can get you 24-plus most weeks and play with a lead, then you can do some things different defensively. So, again, personnel-wise on paper, yeah, it does it have holes, of course. But if all of a sudden you're shifting into a let's grind it out type of offense and hope we don't turn it over – to, okay, we've got a lead. Now we can sick the dogs loose with different types of pressures. If that is your mindset, I'm not saying this is how it's going to be, but if that is your ideology, then you can maybe understand them not going out and getting an edge rusher, you know, in the first round, because we know they like Latu, right? We know they didn't take him 8 overall. But you can understand the logic with it if, again, that is your grand picture scheme.
Yeah, and I guess I was referring to free agency, that I really thought they'd get aggressive there with doing some more. I want to circle back to that. Steve Weish is with us, NFL Network's chief national reporter on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Let's talk about the quarterback thing, and then we'll go back to the roster. Nobody can tell if Kirk's going to stay healthy. Nobody ever knows. It's 2 years. But if he is healthy, do you see a peaceful transition of power where this is going to be Kirk's the guy, Michael's going to be patient, the Falcons will handle the questions properly, and they'll be able to handle all the moving parts of Kirk for two, and then we hand it right to Michael, or will there be some bumps along the way?
Well, I mean, one thing you said to me that's not talked about enough is, you know, will Penix be patient? So honestly, no, he has no choice, but, you know, he can't necessarily be thrilled. You know, I'm sure he's like, okay, I'll come in, there's no pressure. But saying you're going to sit for 2 to 3 years. I mean, look, that's how it used to be years ago, but, and we know it's worked with Jordan Love, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers wasn't just gifted $100 million guaranteed, you know, to kind of sit there and keep Jordan Love on the bench like Kirk Cousins is. So, look, again, in theory, this is the ideal way to do it, but this is a microwave NFL now. You need to win rather quickly. And we know the emphasis on quarterback here. They look at Arthur Blank and his team looks at all the tools that they have on offense. Like, okay, we need to score points. We have a playoff type of offense in terms of personnel. So Kirk can get us there. But to have insurance if he gets hurt, that's great with Michael Penix. Will everything go smoothly? I'm going to tell you this right now. When you get in the training camp and you see people see Michael Penix throw the ball, there's going to be some people like, you know, this guy's the real deal. Why isn't he playing? But that's where the coaching staff, again, has to be very firm in its conviction to Kirk Cousins. So we'll see how all of this plays out. I mean, they're going to be a team. You know, you talk about them being a lightning rod team in the offseason. they're going to be a lightning rod team in terms of eyeballs and people paying attention to them to see how things go with the Kirk Penix dynamic throughout training camp.
Weishia, and I've given the audience this hypothetical, which is just fun, right? Just because I've questioned the process as well, allocating your funds and building your roster, that if the offseason was reversed, in other words, well, the draft came before free agency and the Falcons drafted Penix, we would have all gone, duh, it makes perfect sense, right? Would they have signed Kirk Cousins a month later and given him a $100 million deal if, again, the events of the offseason were switched around?
No. No. I mean, that's...
But doesn't that tell you a lot? Isn't that interesting?
Well, I mean, you can't put in that type of black hole, though. Because, you know, you're shaping your roster completely differently as well. So there, if you draft first and you sign Penix, now you say, okay, but now we've got all these other free agents available on defense. You know, can I go out and make a play for Stone Cold Jones, you know, for Chris Jones? Can I go out and make a play for things like that? So, you know, you're looking, you can't just put it individually like that. But, no, they wouldn't go out and sign Kirk Cousins to a $100 million deal if they drafted Michael Penix. That's not how it would work.
Let me ask you about Albert Breer's report that, and this is not a big shock, that Kirk was told by the Vikings, hey, we're going to draft a young quarterback, and that was one of the reasons why Kirk made the decision to leave. Maybe there's 100 million others, but that was one of his decision-making points that he looked at. For the Falcons, I don't know what the conversations were like. The money's the money, but I'm sure they sat down and said, Kirk, we're going to get you this, and we're going to bring you this, and you're going to have every opportunity here. And then the draft night, shocker for everybody with Penix. He's always been a great soldier, and I imagine he'll continue to be, but it's been pretty loud from his agent and other people around him just how upset he was.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't tell him until they said they were on the clock. So, you know, look, this is where he's got to be a pro. What you're hoping he can, I guess, grow from or at least justify things from is when he came in as a fourth-round pick on the same draft that Robert Griffin III got drafted to Washington. They were there together, and he had to sit and wait. So, you know, he had some types of consternation. He was in a different boat, you know, then. He wasn't expected to be the guy like he's expected to be the guy now. But, you know, again, it's created a dynamic that will be worth watching.
Yeah. Steve Weish is with us, NFL Network's chief national reporter. He's with Chuck and Chernoff on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Now, I'm only reading the reaction from around the league, and some anonymous, some on the record, but I know Mike Sando did his piece for The Athletic where he talked to a bunch of anonymous execs, and universally they didn't like the process. Not the decision of Kirk or Michael, just the process. And I'm sure you've talked to other people. Is it as overwhelming of people shaking their heads at what the Falcons did, or are there some who are on board and understood it from a roster-building standpoint?
I mean, you know, you understand the justification, but people I've talked to are like, why would you go ahead and pay Kirk Cousins all that money and then go ahead and do this? I mean, that's the big thing, right? You know, again, when they try to liken this to the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers scenario in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers was at the end of his deal and the relationship had been fractured. He'd been with the team for a long time. They didn't just go out and pay him a guaranteed $100 million. That's the only issue. People love Michael Penix. They think he's going to be a fantastic pro quarterback. So it's not has nothing to do with Michael Penix or his ability to play in the NFL. This has everything to do in terms of what people are saying with why would you go sign a guy for $100 million who you know for the next 3 years can carry your team if he stays healthy and then go out and use number 8 overall pick. Now, this comes on the heels of people telling me over the past couple of years is that they've had three – this is their fourth pick in the top 8, correct, in the past
correct.
4 years?
Yep.
They've drafted non-premium positions with the
yep.
first three.
Luxury
right?
items.
Tight end, wide receiver, and running back. And yep. now you come out and you draft a guy who's going to sit on the bench for a couple of years. So that's where people are kind of like, hmm. Because they do look at the roster. They do like look at the moves. The draft picks they've made, they've got promise. The free agency moves they've made and the re-signings and things like that, they know this is a pretty talented roster. This was just a head scratcher from the fact that they went out and they signed an aging quarterback to a $100 million deal and then decided to use number 8 pick to back him up.
Weishi, let me get your opinion on one league thing, and this is just a curiosity. So I guess a lot of us thought the schedule would drop this Thursday night, and the league is always like giving you 48 hours, and here comes the schedule. Now we hear it might come the following week. What is their thinking on when they drop the schedule?
I don't know who you're hearing that from. I mean, I know there's some reports out there. I can't answer that question because I know.
Oh, Weishi, wait a minute. I know something you don't. You're not sharing with the class. We're friends.
Nope. Nope.
All right, then I'll ask it generically then, because Mike, the report I saw was Florio. Florio's like, it looks like it'll be the following week. How do I know? I just want the schedule like the rest of us. What is their overall thinking on when they drop it?
Their overall thinking is to keep people guessing like they're doing right now, play pin the tail on the donkey. and then give you a short notice so you tune in and watch. I don't know why it's such a mystery. I mean, I honestly don't know, but it is what it is.
They've got me guessing. So whatever they're doing, it's working, and I will stay glued. Steve Weish does such a great job all around the league, NFL Network as well. He's the NFL Network's chief national reporter and one of our favorite guys. Weishy, thank you as always, my friend. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Matt.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Coming up, Los is comfortable with the structure of the Falcons, and what's occurred in the last 10 days should make you comfortable too, but only if you understand how it works. Dr. Medina will explain next. Let's get it now. Thanks for hanging out with Chuck and Chernoff on this Tuesday afternoon. You are driving home with the fan. That's FM at 93.7. You should know that. If you're trying to do the AM thing, the sun's out today, which should help, at 680. And, of course, you've always got an option. It's like crystal clear, high-definition radio all the time on that 680 The Fan mobile app, which you should also have for all your Braves action so you're not left out in the cold. Los is in for the king. We will walk you right up to the Braves and the Red Sox. 680 game day and then the Ford leadoff show this evening. Now, speaking of the Braves, all season long when the Braves hit a home run, you guys score an instant round-tripper discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires the next day only. It happens at Tire Discounters. Plus, you're going to get a free alignment, a free oil change with your tire purchase. So the more home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals at Tire Discounters. Learn more at tirediscounters.com/Braves.
Ooh, naughty numbers.
He's the man that knows the cap bonuses and all of that. He's the one that gets you cut. Front office, don't give a word. He's the guy who knows the law. Can't put him against the wall. He's the guy with all the answers. Matt and Chuck are backup dancers. Front office, no tools at
all. All brought to you by Entry Point Doors and Windows. We are now getting into springtime. It's time to remake that entryway to your home. Single doors to double doors, maybe big iron doors. Maybe you just want a new look because you want to say, hey, what's behind those doors? Yeah, the doors are nice and the house is nice. That's what Entry Point Doors and Windows has been doing for over 20 years. Window and Door Magazine's Dealer of the Year. Go to entrypointatlanta.com right there in that right-hand corner. Sign up for the free estimate. So if there's anything that we've learned with the Atlanta Falcons under the stewardship of Arthur Blank, it's that there's a reason why this job, whenever it becomes open, does become very interesting around the league. Hell, you had Bill Belichick who was talking about this. You've been able to land the hot coordinator when, you know, it's been, you know, hey, we're going to go ahead and go get Dan Quinn out of Seattle. Remember, much you want to say about Dan Quinn, he was the hottest coordinator on the market at the time. You've been able to land guys like Kyle Shanahan to come and coach over here. You've had these top coaches in the league who have said, yes, I would like to go play for Arthur Blank or coach for Arthur Blank. And here's the reason. And this is what I want you to get used to the cycle. Because we always talk about what is the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. But what happens when you're a billionaire? Because Arthur Blank has a way that he runs his businesses. And oftentimes, that has benefited him and worked for him. So what is the structure of the Falcons? What is the cycle by which they go about their business? And I want to break it down in three very simple ways. The first one, whenever you're new here, and this can go for Raheem Morris, this can go for Fontenot, this can go for this group, but whenever it's new, okay, like as of now, it's a new regime, here's how it works. You get a year to do things your way. The owner's going to spend no matter what direction you want to go, and he's going to support your plan. That always happens first and foremost with Arthur Blank and this team. But then here's what happens. Number two, if you don't do well, the owner and his well-connected henchmen, okay, begin to take power back from you. So we saw this a little bit over the last couple of years. This is where there was a change from Arthur Smith. We've seen this when it's been previous coaching staffs. As you start to see, we're going to make a couple of little alterations. Even Mike Smith, when he came in 2008 and had his success, what happened by the time we got to 2010, 2011? Arthur starts talking about, we need to get more explosive. All right, he starts getting involved. Now, here's the last part, part three. By the second or third year, you are left to try and exceed with too many cooks in the kitchen. All right, that is the cycle of what happens for the Falcons. And so
when you look at what's happened in the last 10 days, this is where an organization, and the joke was, well, they didn't have any supervision. This is why they took Penix at 8.
Yeah, there wasn't an adult in the room.
Not an adult in the room. This is the reason why they did it. Because we're still in part one, year one of the Falcons cycle, where you do whatever you want to do. You go out and sign the quarterback for $100 million. You draft one at 8. You decide to go a different direction. You decide to move up in the draft in the second round to get a defensive lineman that some people thought might be there a little bit later. Whatever you want to do is what you want to do. But if you don't see the results, we quickly move into parts 2 and 3 when the owner and his well-connected henchmen get involved, and then there's too many cooks in the kitchen by years 2 and 3. Matt, does that seem like a pretty solid just write-up of how things go here?
It does. There is a cycle involved. I guess the bigger issue, if I want to kind of expand it, is the reason they didn't hire Belichick, Los, is the same reason they haven't hired any established head coaches since Arthur Blank has been here. The word doesn't like conflict. I don't think he wants a differing opinion. I think he wants everybody to speak the Falcon language. I think he will take the path of least resistance, and that has been Jim Mora, and that's been Bobby Petrino, and that was Mike Smith, and then it was Dan Quinn, and then it was Arthur Smith, and now it's Raheem. I think there's fear in Arthur Blank that if we brought somebody from an established situation somewhere else from the outside, they will really look into this and go, wow, this thing is bleeped up on a lot of levels.
Well, I think they would push back on parts 2 and 3 as far as when they start intruding on what the coach is doing. Because, again, the intrigue about this job is that the owner will spend real money. There's never a part where Arthur Blank says, hey, I know we got to get under the cap, but I don't want to give that guy a $10 million
check
tomorrow.
Why won't they do it this year, by the way?
Well, and that's the thing. I think that's where we're going to see how this plays out and how they're going to get under so that they can sign their draft picks. But there's never been a history of Arthur having trouble spending or saying, let's be the Bidwells. You know, let's be in Cincinnati where we're right at the number we need to be at on a regular basis, 90% of the cap, so we stay compliant with the league. That has never been the case here. They've spent real money. But the problem happens is that after the first year or so, if it doesn't go that way, now the intrusiveness starts to happen with the team. And so that's where I'm like, this might be the last year where Raheem Morris is going to get to do and the front office is going to get to do what they want to do, and then we're going to start seeing the McKay moves and the Arthur Blank moves into what's going on around here.
McKay's not involved, I'm told. Rich is
I'm sure.
He's on the soccer side. We're fine.
Yes, one of the most powerful men in the entirety of the NFL, and that's why he's here, because he sits on the competition committee and he's the president of all these different committees. One of the most powerful people in the NFL is suddenly not paying attention to anything going on with the football team. That is front office loss.
It is again, there's structural issues. I talk about having to overcome chaos. It has not been a well-run franchise for a while. They can, like, see, this is what happens. A lot of times when you're in your building, in your facility, the good of it is I don't hear the outside noise. The bad of it is I don't hear the outside noise, and you can convince yourself what we're doing is working, and it hasn't worked for a very long time. And it's why I kept pushing for a new set of eyes to come in here as the president of ops, who came from a successful scenario, to say, here's what we did. Here's what I see. In Baltimore, we did this. Or in Kansas City, we did this. And I'm watching this. And you don't have to be reactionary right when you get the job, but it's been 6 months, 12 months, and guys, our procedures don't work here. So let's change that up. But when you don't have that guy, Raheem already spoke the Falcon language. They knew he wouldn't push back. Terry Fontenot's not going to push back. The only thing Terry pushed back on was Belichick so he could keep his job. And that's where they are today. All right, coming up. So have you noticed the difference between hiring an offensive coach versus hiring the defensive coach? Because Falcon fans should be expecting more. We'll share that more with you next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.